attended us to learn it. We pray that you'll be our teacher as he teaches, and bless our fellowship here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And Jim?
Yes.
Don't forget, while we're having a breakfast.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. We're having a breakfast here. Did you know that?
And why?
Did you know that we had a breakfast this morning? We're having a breakfast.
Oh, we've done that.
You've done that. All right. Well, the reason for it is because Wally has a birthday.
Sister Andino.
Sister Andino has a birthday.
In February, and Anna Reyes didn't show up.
Okay, Anna Reyes didn't come here, but she had a birthday also. So, happy birthday to all of you.
Thank you.
Okay, and it's also Valentine's Day. How many of you know how many of you heard me tell a Valentine's story? How many of you know the Valentine's story?
St. Valentine.
Why do we have Valentine's Day? There was a guy named St. Valentine. Now, he didn't get that name until later, because he's actually Baptist. The Catholic Church canonized him. But about 269 A.D., all right? How many of you heard this story? All right. Claudius Caesar wanted a big army. Well, when people get married, they don't want to leave their wives, do they? And the family's broken up to go to war. So he outlawed, he said that nobody else could get married. Well, Valentine was a pastor in Rome, and he continued performing marriage ceremonies. And actually, they just, you know, there wasn't a marriage license and all that kind of stuff back then, but he would basically bless the marriages, and he kept doing this. Well, they arrested him. Caesar had him arrested and said, "We're going to kill you." Well, in the meanwhile, the jailer that was over his cell, he was listening to Valentine preach. Because Valentine, even though he's in jail, you know, Baptists, we just keep on preaching wherever we are. All right? That's wherever we go, we preach a little bit. Anyway, he brought his daughter in there, and his daughter was blind. And he was witnessing to the girl, and the girl was saved. She knew the Lord. She asked the Lord to forgive her and save her soul. And then Valentine asked God that if God would remove her blindness. You know, he prayed that she would be healed, her eyesight. And she was. And then her father was saved, which was the jailer. And, of course, being saved back then might cost you your life. Well, the time came up, February the 14th, 269 or 270 A.D., wherever this was, either one of these two dates. And Valentine was taken and had his head cut off. The last note he wrote to the girl that he had led to the Lord and her father, and the note read, "Love your Valentine." And that's the first Valentine card, basically. All right? Love your Valentine. So that's where the Valentine cards come from. And then later on, of course, they have Cupid and all this kind of stuff and paganism, everything. But just don't forget the real Valentine, all right, on Valentine's Day. All right. Now, we've been studying the seven feasts of Israel, haven't we? Now, you've got your little handout here that David so graciously copied for me. It's about the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle, around the tabernacle were seven feasts, okay? Now, let's take a look at the seven feasts. We're still in tabernacle zone here, okay? But let's just talk about the first feast was what? Remember what it was? Now, all these feasts were taking place when Jesus was crucified, remember? Do you? All right, the first feast was what? What was the first feast they celebrated in Egypt?
Passover,
all right. Now, the Lord's death basically took place on Passover, right? At that period of time, he was buried, basically. All right? He was killed on Passover. And then we have the second one, Leviticus 23, verse 5, by the way, if you want to write this down. If you want to write these down on the back side of that, this is good. Okay? The Lord's death was on Passover. Number two, we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jesus was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? And they would take a piece of bread, and they would hide it, by the way, in the Passover, and they'd hide it. And this unleavened bread was Leviticus 23 and verse 6. Leviticus 23 and verse 6. Now, after he was buried, what happened to Jesus' body? What do you think the next one is? What's the next piece? All right, that's Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. What was the Feast of First Fruits? All right, the first crop, the first barley, the first fruits off the tree, the first grapes that were ripe off the vine, they would bring them to the house of God and dedicate them to the house of God because they were thankful that God had brought forth life again from these dead vines in the wintertime. Your trees, they go to sleep in the wintertime, don't they? Your almond trees go to sleep, don't they, Brother Wallace?
Yes, they do.
All right. About this month, they start waking up, don't they? Okay. So, they were thankful that God gave them life again. And this is the Feast of First Fruits, which is a feast basically like the resurrection. Leviticus 23, 12, 10 through 12. All right. The resurrection. Now, number four, the fourth feast. We know that the Lord called His church out in His ministry. And He told that church to do what? What did He tell it to do? Wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high so you can go out and spread the gospel. All right? Pentecost was the 50th day, remember? 50th day. All right? 50th day after Passover. All right? And by the way, this is the last summer harvest. What was that church supposed to do? Go out and make what? Make disciples. All right? What do you do with a disciple? What is a disciple? What's the Greek word for disciple? Anybody know?
Discipline.
Disciple. All right. Discipline. What's the Greek word? Anybody know? Mathetes. Mathetes. What does mathetes mean? Habitual learner. You make habitual learners, and they do have a disciplined life. When you're born again, you've got a new way of thinking, don't you? New way of living, too. All right. Well, during the whole church age, I wish I had my chart up here. See, I don't have my chart up this time. And during the church, the whole church age, this is during the age of Pentecost, okay? The Feast of Pentecost. Because we're supposed to go out and make and bring in the harvest. Jesus said, the harvest is what?
Plenteous.
But the what?
Laborers.
But the laborers are few. And we are the laborers during this period of time, all right? We're supposed to go out and bring in the harvest. Now, we're waiting for the Feast of Trumpets. What does the Feast of Trumpets represent? The rapture. All right, Leviticus 23 and verse 24, and 1 Thessalonians 4:16. All right. Now, number six is the Day of Atonement. All right, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. What do you think that might represent? After the rapture, who is going to be the administrator in God's kingdom? Why is the tribulation coming upon this earth?
To bring
Israel back to God. To bring Israel back to God. Leviticus 23 and verse 27 and Zechariah 12 and 10. And then finally, the age of glory, the millennial reign, is when Israel will rule and reign on this, or will actually be administrators of His kingdom on this earth for how many years?
1,000 years.
All right. And the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. The Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. The kingdom age. Now, let's go back and look at the tabernacle just a little bit. Here's a picture of the tabernacle up here. You also have a... Lost it. Look over here on your first page. It's page... what's that page read there?
59.
All right. Let's look at the tabernacle for a moment. Here, the tabernacle is right up here. Move this camera over here a little bit. All right. Right up here is the tabernacle, and of course you've got it right here on your paper. All right. This courtyard of the tabernacle. Okay? The courtyard of the tabernacle. Look at it. It's only 150 feet long, isn't it? All right? And just 150 feet long. And in here is a little bitty tent. All right? And that tent, part of that tent represented the very dwelling place of God. What was that called? The Holy of Holies. All right, the Holy of Holies. Now, how many of you have these? Okay. I made this picture. I drew it, and Brother Ken Blinn put it on a computer, and here you have it. The only one, I've never seen any of these before. I guess we're the first ones to develop it in church history, and every book I ever read, I've never seen one of these, okay? But you've got one now. All right. Now let's go back in history just a little bit. And let's look at some things as we come to this point of time. Who camped all the way around the edge of this? See the blue?
12 tribes of Israel.
No.
13.
The blue.
The blue.
The blue. The blue line around the very closest portion of the tent.
Oh, the Levites.
The Levites. Now let's get a little history about the Levites. As God started dealing with mankind, and I wish I had my chart again, because I can show you just a little bit more about that. As He started dealing with mankind, He started dealing with people, and one man would represent, would be the spiritual head of a family. And that was called a what? What was he called? A patriarch. A patriarch. All right? And I said in Latin, it's what? Paterfamilia. All right? In Greek, it's patria. In Hebrew, it's mispata. All right?
This is...
What?
Spanish is
patriarca. All right, there we go. Here we have the head of the family. Now, we had Abraham, and then we had Isaac, and then we have Jacob. And Jacob is the father. His name is changed by God to what?
Israel.
Israel. All right? And how many sons, basically, does he have? 12. And then he adopted Ephraim and Manasseh from Joseph. So they were actually his adopted heirs, his sons. Okay? Now, let's look at these tribes. Now, as God dealt with man, He deals differently, doesn't He? Sometimes He changes. Alright? He changes because it's going toward an end. We don't see the whole end source of things, the end result. But He had patriarchs now. Alright? Then we have 12 patriarchs. We've got 12 patriarchs, all the sons of Jacob. Look at here. We got Joseph. We've got Benjamin. We've got Asher. We've got Dan. We've got Naphtali. We've got Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. We've got Simeon, Reuben, and Gad, and Levi. All right. Let's look at this for a while. Now, how many spiritual heads would there be in those families? One head over each tribe, wasn't it? There was an heir. These were all heirs over this tribe. And they would all have heirs. So one person would be the heir over all of those. But God changed it when He took them out of Egypt. What did God do? Now, maybe you haven't thought about this before. Pay attention closely to this. When God took them out of Egypt, He completely did away with the right of the firstborn. It's washed out. No more. What did He do? Who became the spiritual head of all the tribes of Egypt? Or Israel? What?
Our Lord Jesus.
What?
Our Lord Jesus.
Who? That's getting a little bit further ahead.
Church.
When?
Moses.
Right? When? Well, Moses was part of it.
The spiritual Aaron?
Huh?
The spiritual Aaron?
The tribe of Levi. They were. Did the tribe of Levi have any? Now, the tribe of Levi was replaced, wasn't it? Because the tribe of Levi didn't have any earthly inheritance at all. They were all spiritual. They were supposed to be looked upon as spiritual priests only. And they took the place of the heir, the firstborn, and they became the firstborn, the patriarch singular, that that family of all of the nation of Israel. All the rest of them were subservient. No Levite ever went to war. His job in this world was totally spiritual. All right? What person could take, kind of imitated the Levites in what we call the rites and the ceremonies? What person imitated the Levites? If you wanted to become a spiritual Levite, what did you become? We got several examples of this in the Bible.
A Nazarite?
That's right, brother. A Nazarite. A Nazarite, you became engrafted temporarily to act and walk and talk like a priest. All right? When you saw a Nazarite, you knew who he was. Why?
Because he had long hair.
He had long hair.
He didn't drink wine.
He had long hair. He didn't eat grapes. He didn't drink wine. Even if mom and daddy died, he couldn't go to the funeral. If brother or sister died, wife died, he couldn't go to the funeral. All right? He had to stay away from all dead people. The priest had to do that too. So he imitated what?
There's only two.
Yeah. We have two examples, don't we? Mm-hmm. Who were they?
Samson and John the Baptist.
All right. Samson and John the Baptist. Now, there were a lot more Nazarites in the Bible. But we have two of them recorded. We have Samson, and that guy was a character, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Oh, what a character. But when you saw that man, you knew he belonged to the Lord because he had long, flowing hair. Right off. You knew that it belonged to the Lord because he did not cut his hair. There was another guy that could have been a Nazarite, one of David's sons.
Absalom.
Didn't say much about it, but Absalom looked like a Nazarite because he had long hair. Now, you took a Nazarite vow for a while, and you had to live like a priest. Walk, talk, and live and eat like a priest. Okay? You had to do that. Okay? But when you saw a Nazarite, you knew that he belonged to the Lord. There's a Greek word that means belonging to the Lord. That's Kyriakos. Say that, Kyriakos. Yeah. Belonging to the Lord. That is like a Nazarite. All right? Belonging to the Lord. He belonged to the Lord. Now, when God, we went from patriarchs, all right? Now we have gone down to the Levites. Now, of the Levites, there was only one high priest. All the tribe of Levi, all the men had to live like priests. They lived off of all the other tribes. The tribes supported them. They didn't go to war. They minded one thing. They didn't farm. They didn't have houses. They had houses. They didn't have any farms like the other tribes did, or great big flocks or anything, because they said, you're supposed to pay attention to God's things. Okay? Just do God's things. That was the Levites. And they camped closest around here. It doesn't show that, but all of these tents right here are basically Levites. By the way, they were one of the smallest tribes. Okay? But they took the place now of the firstborn. They were the patriarchal heads of all of Jewish society. All right. Now let's look and see whose children these were. Now, when Jacob got married, what was his father-in-law's name?
Laban.
What was it?
Laban.
Oh, Laban. How many of you have father-in-laws like Laban? He was a trickster, wasn't he? Laban. He went in there and he wanted to marry this beautiful girl named
Rachel.
But Rachel had an older sister named what?
Leah.
The Bible has always, we have a law of the rejection of the firstborn. When we're first born into this world, we're born of the world. We're born of man. When we're born again, we're born of above. We're born, the word hagios, our saint in the Bible. How many of you know you're a saint? If you're in here in this room and you know the Lord, you're a saint. All right. When you're born the first time, you're born of your father. And your father has condemned you. He has damned you with death. Okay? The mother didn't do this. The female gender Women smile. You don't damn your children. You don't give them death. You just give them form. The man gives them the blood and life, but he also gives us death. But when we're born again, we're born from above. Jesus told the Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. That's what it means. And hagios means not of earth. We're born the first time, we're born of earth. We're born again, we're born from above. All right? Now, let's look as we see this. Look on your... Have you got this little chart with you today also?
No.
All right. This, okay, a little bit different. Okay, let's look at it though. In the north we have Asher and we have Dan and we have Naphtali. All right? Now, whose children were they?
One of the servants.
All right. Bilhah and Zilpah. All right? That's whose servants they were. Just say Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. Now look over to the west. All right, the west. Whose children are they? We have Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin. Manasseh and Ephraim are actually Jacob's children. Are not Jacob's children, Joseph's children. But Jacob adopted them as his own sons because he was going to put them in here. Now, there's going to be 13 tribes of Israel now, but actually there's only going to be 12. Okay? Because Levites aren't involved in this. They have no inheritance. But they are the global leaders. But who's their mother?
Rachel.
That's Rachel's children. Now let's go to the south. Go to the south as you're looking at the tabernacle. Now you can write this. See this tabernacle right here? This little deal? You can write these little notes right around there. Okay? Let's go to the south. Now the sign of these people was the face of a man. Of course, Rachel's was a calf. Her children. And then the north, Bilhah and Zilpah, that's Asher, Dan, and Naphtali, was the eagle on the flag. Okay? And then over here, let's go south, we got Simeon, Reuben, and Gad. Now who is this? Who's their mothers?
Leah.
And Zilpah. All right? So basically Leah's having a great part in all this, isn't she? Leah was the rejected one, wasn't she? Now, Laban got Jacob to marry her first, but he didn't want her. He was all upset when he woke up in the morning and said, look what you've done to me. That's not my wife out there. Oh, yeah, that's your wife. He said, that's not the one I worked 7 years for. So then he got to marry, after a week, he got to marry Rachel.
When he was sobered up, he was in the wrong bed, what he thought.
Fast one had been pulled on that boy. All right, east. We've got Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Now, who's their mother? The lion of the tribe of Judah.
Leah was the mother.
Do you see how God always rejects the firstborn and the chosen? Do you see that? Now, who had the most children of all of them? Leah. He made her fruitful because she was rejected. Sister Andina.
And Reuben was the first one, right? Or Leah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reuben. Yeah. Now
Judah was the fourth. No, wasn't he? Simon was second.
Yeah.
Judah was fourth.
Yeah. Let's go on a little bit further. We got Leah over here. Now whose son is Levi? That's Leah also is. Just think about all this. Just think, the one that was rejected. Jesus was what? Rejected. He was the rejected one too, wasn't he? All right, now let's go on to the tabernacle. See, you know what, more minutes. Well, we're out of time, actually.
We got a clock.
Yes. I used to have a clock. I'm going to put my favorite clock back there. I don't know what time it is. Let's look at my wristwatch.
The last one you taught us was John, Matthew, Luke. Was it over here in the west? Wasn't that Mark, you said?
The west is Mark, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke is the one that's like man. And, of course, John is of the north. That's who represents the gospel. These four represent four gospels, I'll say. And then the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the King of Israel, Matthew. All right? Well, thank you for your attention. I'm sorry that everything was so helter-skelter and messed up today, but you can have some more breakfast now if you want some more before you go to your next little going on, wherever you go. Thank you, Adriana, for bringing to us. And remember, Jose's family, Jose Posado, Martha is the one that had her leg amputated, and they're growing in the Lord. She is recovering little by little. It's been a long, long road. She's still in the hospital even now. But remember them in your prayers. And also remember my granddaughter, Jackie. They still don't know what's wrong with her. Remember me. My blood sugar is better now. But boy, I've had a really roller coaster ride with that thing. And also remember my son, Gary. He has had surgery on his shoulder. And he's recovering from that. Brother David. By the way, we're going to have a class this afternoon at 4:30 on the...